Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the April 15 edition of Healthcare Consumerism Radio. This is your radio producer, Jonathan Field, here, and I'm joined in the studio with our host, Doug Field.
Hey, good morning, Jonathan. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. We have a good program today.
Yeah, we do have a great program today. We're going to kick off here and after our brief overview here with Michael Levin, the CEO of Vericreed, and we're going to really talk about decision support for effective health insurance shopping experience. And our second guest will be Daniel Wells with Endeavor Plus, and they're are introducing a very unique health plan model that they say creates a direct path to self-funding for many, many businesses. So I think we're going to see more and more of those companies come out, too. I mean, we're already seeing a lot of those type of companies come out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the former CEO of United Health just announced a new health plan. Of course, everybody knows about Oscar.
Yep.
And now, you know, Endeavor Plus is a TPA offering their, kind of self-funding plan that's influenced by a lot of healthcare consumerism ideas, and should be interesting to hear Daniel's opinions today.
Yep. And I want to alert our audience to our upcoming webinar on May 3rd with HCENIV. It's the second in a two-part series. The first part of the series really talked about, you know, finding the best fit technology for your broker. These are our broker webinars, by the way. And really talked about how to find the best fit technology for you and your clients and what selling opportunities exist with benefit technologies and streamlining what you do as a broker for better efficiency. Part two coming up on May 3rd will really focus on educating and training brokers and agents in technology adoption, engaging your clients with the benefit marketplace for growth and retention, and creating marketing opportunities for your agency and your field force. And it'll be myself, along with our host, Megan Urbanic, with HCENIV. And then Rob.
Yeah, we have Rob Pauly. Rob's with the Insurance Marketing Center up in the Mid-Atlantic. And Rob Pauly has spoken at our events before. Definitely one of the broker experts out there. They're a leading Mid-Atlantic wholesale distributor of group and individual health insurance products. They've been servicing the D.C. area for about 30 years, and they're regionally known as one of the top experts on CDHPs. So, you know, looking forward to really hearing from Rob on his experience of as an early adopter of a benefits marketplace, and he's going to be delving into how the adoption of a benefits marketplace works, how to use a benefits marketplace for agent recruiting and retention, and other best practices.
Yep. So we look forward to that. Again, that is May 3rd, 11 o'clock. It is a free webinar, and just go to the IHCC homepage, and you'll see it on the right side. Just click on it and go right to the overview and then the registration page. But, again, www.theihcc.com. You know, right on the homepage. Jonathan, we're just under 45 days to our major event on May 24th, 26th here in Atlanta, IHC Forum and Expo. Still early bird in existence, 2 weeks. And, you know, what are some of the highlights, Jonathan, that you see coming up, that, you know, with the event?
Yeah, as you mentioned, you know, 2 weeks from today is the end of early bird rates. So make sure to register this month to get the best rates still available. And, yeah, I mean, as you said, the program is coming together very well. Of course, we have the Atlanta Wellness Professionals leading off the show that we've talked about a couple times before, representatives from the CDC, from Chick-fil-A, from Rollins, several prominent Atlanta employers talking about their wellness strategies in 2016 and going forward. You know, a lot of good quality speakers that have been added within the past week or so.
Really quality employers, right? Really quality.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And, you know, we always do also an employer session to close the show. So this year we have Margaret at the Midwest Business Group on Health, and she's put together an incredible panel to close the conference. We have David Hines with Metro Nashville Public Schools, Olga Rupert with Hub International, and she is on the benefits and comp side, not on the broker side of Hub. Christian Badgerat, and she is with Zurich North America. And we have Bart Carlson. He is a senior director, benefit strategy and analysis at ConAgra Foods.
That's a great panel.
Variety of employers. You know, we have the public schools in Nashville, about 3,000 lives, I believe. We have ConAgra, you know, the big food manufacturer. Zurich from the financial insurance aspect of a global company, just covering North American benefits there. And Hub International, which has, of course, been a rapidly growing company. So we'll hear about the strategies there as well.
And there will be there'll be approximately, 70-plus sponsors in our innovation showcase there when you come. So, I mean, you can learn a lot about some of the innovation taking place in this industry. Got a special general session on millennials. You want to highlight that a little bit?
Yeah, Jody Brainer, who is a prominent consultant here in the Atlanta area, she has years of expertise, formerly, I believe, the president of GAHU, Georgia Association of Health Underwriters, very involved in the Atlanta and Georgia broker consultant community. So Jody will be leading a panel that right now has Eric Bricker with Compass Professional Health Services. Eric is well known for his thoughts on price and quality transparency and healthcare consumerism generally, and Vinay Gidwani, who's done an excellent job speaking at our events in the past. And he always has some really interesting thoughts about user experience of digital apps, what millennials are looking for in terms of employee benefit offerings. So absolutely, Vinay is, of course, with Maxwell, for our listeners who don't know. Chief Product Officer and co-founder of Maxwell Health, Vinay Gidwani. And we have Kevin Murphy. And Kevin is actually with Willis Towers Watson. He's based here in Atlanta. And he is a millennial. He's a young guy in his 20s as well. So Kevin will kind of be up there talking about what he sees both as, you know, working inside a large brokerage firm like Willis Towers Watson, and also kind of about what his peer group is looking for in terms of employee benefits, what they understand around employee benefits, what they don't understand. And that panel is not closed yet. We still will have
A fourth panelist
to come, so keep an eye on the website. That's theiccforum.com. Just click the agenda tab, scroll down to general sessions.
And when you look ahead beyond Atlanta, you know, we're in the planning and implementation stage for Private Exchange Forum in Baltimore, September 8th through the 9th. Super Saver rates exist on our website for any attendees who want to register early and lock in a rate for $99. We're looking for speakers right now. So speaking opportunities exist. Obviously, sponsorship opportunities there. And same to be said for our final event of the year, IHC Forum West. It'll be held November 9th through 10th in Las Vegas. You know, looking ahead there, same thing. Speaker opportunities, super saver rates, you know, sponsorship opportunities, you know, exist there. We'll have our Superstars and Innovator Awards at that event as well. So we'll have some quality leaders there from in the industry, represented there.
Yeah, and, you know, as you mentioned, the Baltimore event is going to be our second year going back to Baltimore. So we're looking forward to that in September. And as you mentioned, we are looking for speakers, but we also have quite a few good speakers already lined up here. We have Carolyn Quatrocki. She's with the Maryland Health Benefit Exchange, so she's the executive director. Switching it up a little bit, she's going to be talking about user experience in the state-based exchange there. We have Robin Gelbert at Fair Health, Mike Smith at Lockton Benefit Group, Chris Duncan at Epic Insurance Brokers, Randy Spicer, who leads the health insurance services at the National Restaurant Association, Laurel Pickering at the Northeast Business Group on Health, Barbara Newick, of course, she's always fantastic at PwC. Mike Trilli at ITA Group, Tom Dimmer at Renaissance Dental. A lot of our great regular speakers on private exchanges will be there. Chris Condolucci, of course.
Yeah, really one of the leaders in compliance and regulatory around exchanges. So again, you can find all of our events from the May event, Baltimore and West, on our forum site, the IHCCforum.com. So I'd like to welcome our first guest on the program, and he's been here with us before. He's a regular speaker at some of our events as well. He'll be here in Atlanta at IHC Forum and Expo, Michael Levin, co-founder and CEO of Vericreed. Michael, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
How is it up in New York today?
It's a beautiful day. It's finally getting a little warmer, so that's a good thing.
There you go. It's a beautiful day down here. For Atlanta, it's a little nippy, but you wouldn't like me saying that since it's going to be a high of 74 today. So.
That's not what I want to be hearing right now.
Michael, you got an important topic here, decision support for effective health insurance shopping experience. But before we kind of dive into that, give our audience a little backgrounder on yourself and Vericreed, if you would, please.
Sure. So Vericred is a data platform on which modern health insurance quoting and shopping experiences are built. And essentially, we're providing three data sets to a host of technology companies that are transforming that whole shopping experience. Those data sets are plan design and rate data, which speaks to the different coverages and benefits and costs of particular plans. The second data set is provider network data, which, amongst other use cases, enables a shopping experience to show whether your doctors or and preferred facilities are in or out of a plan. And then third is formulary data that we're just now launching that will allow or enable that same kind of experience on the drug side. So I take these drugs on a daily basis, and I want to know that when I'm buying a plan that those drugs are covered and at the lowest possible tier level. So that's what we do. We're a data company, and we're enabling what is a dramatic transformation in the whole health insurance shopping experience with new business models, new platforms, and new individual and group experiences.
Yeah, it's a pretty confusing world out there for these first-time consumers, right?
It is.
So you talk a lot, or you talk about, health plans for under 65 individuals, senior small groups are becoming homogenized. Kind of clarify that a little bit. What do you mean by this?
Sure. Well, we've seen this push both at a federal and state level. So, for example, Medicare products are all standardized, and now we're seeing in the individual market a push at the state level. California is a good example, and at the federal level, through CMS's new guidance for the 2017 plans that are requiring or recommending standardized plan designs. So the core benefits, deductibles, co-pays for those key elements that people use on a day-to-day basis will be standardized across different carriers. So each carrier who's participating will offer some of these standardized plans. So as a result, when you're an individual or a group shopping for a plan, you may well see numerous plans with essentially the same core benefits. And it's further exacerbated by the fact that the market is competitive. So not only will you see the same core benefits, but you'll see great similarity in plan costs.
Okay. And so when you look at businesses and employees and other individuals shopping for health insurance, how do they differentiate between plans? I mean, just, help me with that. And then kind of what do you guys do to help that, take place?
So, not only is there a homogenization of plans going on, but there's a proliferation of plans. As an individual here in New York City where I sit, there's well over 130 plans from six or seven carriers that are available. if you're a small business owner in Portland, Oregon, there's over 600 small group plans from 13 different carriers from which to choose. So, you know, the question is, how do you choose? If the pricing is very similar and the benefits have become homogenized, what are the differing factors? And the key differing factors are becoming provider networks and formularies. There's been a lot of talk about provider networks and particularly narrow networks. And indeed, networks from these different carriers and even within a carrier are markedly different. And similarly, on the formulary side, there are big differences. So the question is, when you're shopping, if the plan design is the same and the prices are the same, well, you know, quite simply, are my doctors in or out? Are my drugs covered? And if so, at what level? I mean, this is now become the core differentiating feature between these plans because of these other dynamics that are playing out in the broader market.
Yeah, and it probably highlights one of the reasons people typically just continue doing the same thing they've always done, which isn't necessarily the right plan for them, correct? It's just so overwhelming and so confusing to them.
That's correct. And, you know, so what's happening, and I talk about these technology platforms and the transformation, you know, what's happening here is we've moved from, a paper broker model where a half a dozen plan choices will be given or shown to an individual or a group, to technology platforms that start out with a listing, a laundry list of plans. So, for example, those 600 plans that we talked about, but that's overwhelming. So, you know, how do you start to cull and figure out what's right? Well, you know, the first thing that I would say is, There's no single answer that is right for every constituency out there. I heard before I hopped on talking about millennials and what are they looking for. Well, they're
right.
Looking for a very different user journey, right, than is a 50-year-old with a bunch of kids and maybe the start of some physical ailments. So, you know, you hear a lot about different user journeys and we've got the right one. Well, you know, it's our belief that there is no single user journey that is right for everyone.
Yeah, so talk about you're kind of alluding to the features of an ideal shopping experience. It depends on the demographics of who the shopper is, correct?
It does. I mean, the good news is it's evolving, and now it's evolving really quickly, so it's exciting. So, you know, as I said, you went from this, you know, not a lot of transparency on plan choice to now overwhelming transparency in plan choice. So where do you go from there? Some of the first and very basic capabilities are what we call provider-centric search. So the ability to enter your doctors as part of that plan search process and quite simply see who's in and who's out. And because of the differentiation in these different networks, very quickly as an individual or even as a group, you'll see certain plans supported by certain networks float to the top. It becomes a very effective gross filter. Similarly on drugs, if you put in your drugs and see where they're covered or if they're covered, and if so, at what tier level. So these are very basic filters that we would expect in any kind of shopping experience. When, you know, if you're shopping for a TV, you put in the size range and you put in the kind of TV you want. So we look at it and say these are really basic elements. And this has been echoed by healthcare.gov in the last open enrollment period. They brought forth as beta features provider-centric search and drug search as their part of their shopping experience. So they kind of set a minimum bar on at least that functionality. And we see that over the next year and a half, 2 years, it's going to be ubiquitous. There won't be a shopping experience where you don't enter your doctors and drugs and see the resulting output. But then it goes further from there. If I have health issues or I'm utilizing my health insurance, I may want to see which plan design, going back to those homogenized plan designs, works well for me. And there's a number of great companies doing some really interesting work here, asking questions about utilization, about number of doctors, about health conditions, about drugs, and making planned recommendations or rankings to help people cull from those 130 plans or 600 plans to the one that's right for them financially with their doctors and covering the drugs that they take every day.
Yeah. So there's a lot of change out there with the networks, and there's a lot of talk about the emerging narrow networks and, the big networks. And, the assumption is, isn't a big network fundamentally better than a narrow network? That's true or false?
Well, we hear that all the time, and I think that that originated out of a lack of transparency tools. You know, in the absence of tools, bigger sounds better. More doctors sounds better. And we're really passionate about this. We eat, sleep, and breathe provider networks here. And we like to take the approach that it's not the size that's important, it's the fit that counts. So, a broad national network with tens of thousands of providers, maybe hundreds of thousands of providers, doesn't benefit someone who rarely leaves their state. I mean, healthcare is local. So, what's important to that individual? It's important to know whether their doctors and their preferred facilities are in a network. And as I said a little bit earlier, that varies dramatically within a local or regional area between these different networks. So are your doctors in? Are new doctors accessible if you needed? And by accessible, I mean in your area, accepting new patients. That's more important than sheer number. So now we're seeing with the data that we're bringing to the market, transparency tools that really answer these questions. And by the way, if you can find that narrow network plan that that fits your needs, has your doctors and has new doctors accessible, as an individual and indeed as a group, you can save 15% to 35% on that same plan design, but with a narrow network. So not only does network fit give rise to greater satisfaction in the plan choice because your doctors are in and you can find new doctors, but also because you can save money.
That makes a lot of sense. So you kind of alluded to formularies, and you're kind of talking about it now. Can you go dive a little deeper on, why you see them as the next neural networks?
Yeah, we've been talking quite a bit, including at some of your conferences, about this. There's a lot of talk about drug prices, the raw cost of drugs and a $2 pill that's now a $1,000 pill. But what we're seeing here is a subtler change in formulary design between the carriers, where drugs are being shifted in tiers. And, for those who aren't as familiar with network tiers, a plan typically has differing benefits or co-pays or co-insurance for different tiers of the network, with tier one being the lowest co-pay. Maybe it's a $5 on a generic drug, going up to a much more significant co-pay. So where a drug lands in that spectrum is incredibly important. And we're seeing changes, small incremental changes. And what's happening here are drugs that were formerly, a tier one or tier two drug that were, if you will, affordable under plan designs, are now tier three drugs. So the costs are going up to utilizers who take those drugs. So there's this undercurrent of shift, and the reason we refer to them as the next narrow networks is, again, it's about finding the right formulary based on the drugs that you take. And what we're hearing from users, this is kind of interesting, is in some ways the formularies are almost more important than the provider networks, because if I'm on a drug, I may be on it for the rest of my life. So it's really important for me to have a plan that will support me and that's, that is financially amenable to my taking that drug. My doctor may retire next year, and I'm not trying to minimize the importance of doctors, but these formularies are incredibly important, and they're changing. By way of example, AARP ran a piece last year on the copays for the same drugs in Part D plans. So standardized plan design, what's the copays? And the differences between different formularies are stunning. One drug, depending on which plan you're on, between the highest and lowest pay copay of the 19 plans in that area, it was a $535 a month difference. And that's just indicative or representative of what's happening there. So why do we call the NextEra Networks? Because changes are happening that are affecting the cost and accessibility of drugs, much like an analogy to what's been happening in the provider network side.
Well, that's good. Michael, it's been great having you on this morning, and I want to remind my audience that you will be speaking at IHC Forum and Expo on May 24th and 26th here in Atlanta for those of listeners who are going to join us there. And, leave our audience with a few takeaways, if you would, please.
So, takeaways, everyone knows that there's a transformation going on here in health insurance. We see that that networks and formularies are becoming the key differentiating factors between plans. Bigger is not necessarily better when it comes to network fit, and as we just finished up talking, formularies are the next narrow networks.
Yeah. Michael, pleasure having you on again. Enjoy your weekend up in New York, and we'll see you real soon here in Atlanta.
Thanks so much for the opportunity. Be well.
Take care. Take care. Bye-bye. Good stuff. As we've got the emerging consumers that we talk about, they're going to need help, as Michael's highlighting, and it's a confusing world out there. And the kid's point about if you're a small business out in Portland, Oregon, you've got 600 different small group plan choices. That's overwhelming, let alone we as individuals going out there, even those of us who think we know a little bit about, this space.
Yeah, absolutely. Some good food for thought there. And again, to reiterate the point, you can catch Michael at his workshop in Atlanta at this year's IHC Forum and Expo.
Yep. Let's wait for our next guest to come on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's kind of get you, Jonathan. You just launched, did a lot of good work, you and your team, on our annual Outlook issue, and that's now out in digital format on our site. A printed copy will be coming out, later next week. I mean, you want to talk about some of the highlights and tell our audience where they can find it?
Sure, yeah. So this is our annual Healthcare Consumerism Solutions Outlook magazine. This is kind of where we have various thought leaders share insights on the different niches of benefits trends. So we have everything from telehealth to a section on benefit broker-specific material to a section on healthcare transparency. So, I think we have 15 articles in this year's edition, a lot of good insights, some regulars, contributors that you'll probably know, like John Hickman at Alston & Bird, as one of the experts on legal and compliance issues and employee benefits specifically related to consumer-driven healthcare.
And our own advisory board chair, Ron Bachman, I think. Yeah, and Ron kicks off the issue with kind of an interesting chronological look.
We talked about a little bit about Ron's piece on last week's show, and kind of I had Ron delve into that piece. But it's Ron wrote on the development of healthcare consumers in the United States. So he actually takes it all the way back to World War II and the emergence of health insurance as an employee benefit, as, a retaining tool. And actually, I think he takes even back before that, the development of the Blues in Texas, and I think in the 20s or 30s.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, he covers everything from FSAs in the 70s to, HRAs, HSAs, the future of healthcare consumerism. So that's a, great history, overarching look to start the issue. Some other good insights. We have Roy Ramtham back to talk about health savings accounts. And, of course, Roy is the president of HSA Consulting Services. He talks quite a bit about the Cadillac tax in his piece. Sissy Connolly, she is with the Alliance of Community Health Plans. And she actually took the angle of talking about telehealth, the opportunities for telehealth for health plans, and how her members and the Alliance of Community Health Plans, how those regional health plans are implementing telehealth solutions. We have a great piece by George Van Antwerp at Deloitte Consulting, and he talks about the specialty pharmacy elephant and, how, I think Michael talked about it briefly, is the rise in costs for specialty pharmaceuticals for employers. So George delves into that a little bit. Leah Binder, of course, with the Leapfrog Group. You're talking about maybe the expert on healthcare transparency out there. She has a fantastic piece here. So, yeah, again, this is our Healthcare Consumerism Outlook annual edition. You can read it on our website now. And, yeah, we invite you to check it out.
Well, let me bring in our next guest on the program, Daniel Wells, with Endeavor Plus, which is really a new health plan providing a direct path for self-funding for many, many businesses. And Daniel, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, and thank you for giving me the time this morning.
Yeah, good to have you on here. Give our audience a little backgrounder on Endeavor Plus.
Sure. Endeavor Plus is really an integrated healthcare solution that is geared more toward that 50 to 250 life group, those employer groups, to transition them away from the fully insured commercial plans that are out there into an integrated self-funded solution that really drives consumerism, transparency, and wellness.
So what, there seems to be a lot of entries in this niche in this space, obviously, because of, where the market's moving. So tell us what differentiates Endeavor Plus from, some of the others out there.
Well, and really what brought me over to Endeavor, too, is in that niche market that we have, it's always been an obstacle to bring those people over to the fully or the self-funded marketplace, because you're going to have the peaks and valleys. Everybody's going to have bad claims, either experienced by the group or experienced by an individual. And when you have a bad claims year, that has legs, and that has an impact over years 2, 3, and 4 as your funding levels go up.
Right.
Endeavor has a patent-pending program where we can actually take those claims, those high-dollar claims, and purchase them off of funds that we have generated from the capital markets, that allows our stop-loss partners to pay those claims over time, because they're trying to get into this marketplace too. But the problem is their loss ratios. So if we can take that $1 million claim from a group and let the stop-loss carrier amortize that over 10 years using the capital markets, that mitigates that risk and helps stabilize that rate over time. There's a lot of tertiary benefits to that that we've experienced dealing with the providers directly and monetizing their receivables. But it's a way that we have been able to, instead of shift the cost curve, sort of flatten that out.
Okay. When did you launch, Daniel? When did this become, active in the marketplace?
We've basically been actively marketing this for the last month. I gave final sign-off that we could accept membership 3 weeks ago. I've been instrumental in the integration of all the systems, and I wanted to make sure anytime we bring business on that it's going to run smoothly. So we have some really good proposals out there. We're getting a lot of good reception from the provider marketplace and also the consultant marketplace. We have our first lives coming on in June. We have a bunch of open proposals, still live proposals in June, and we're looking for July to be a really boom month for us. And our anticipation is to bring on about 25,000 lives between now and January 1st of 2017.
That's a pretty aggressive growth plan. You know, so are you going to work through brokers? Is that you're gonna embrace brokers as part of your distribution plan, or what's your rollout?
Totally. I don't think you can feed from both sides of that trough. So we have dedicated to the independent Salesforce marketplace. We've developed a distribution strategy that uses a GA, and a writing agent model. We call it a managing director, regional manager, and regional advisors, because it is more an advisor role in this product. But we're going out exclusively. We've developed three MGA producers right now that are signing up agents underneath them. They're generating a lot of quote activity for us, and they're doing a lot of education and seminars for us as well. It's really an education process to train the agents up on how to present this, because we have the financial services aspect. We are 100% reference-based pricing and price transparency shop. And the way that we only offer a single plan design. So we have to educate them on all components of our integrated solution here.
Yeah, so you're about to release a new mobile app, is that correct?
Yes. We're really driving wellness. We put a big focus on wellness. So we always knew we had to have an interaction, especially with the millennials, to really flatten that cost curve. So we've started developing our wellness app, and it was launched last week. But Dr. Susie Shrug, one of the top five lipidologists in the country, was spearheading that project, and we sort of had scope creep, where it went from a wellness app where we could do tracking and you could keep track of your numbers to more of a holistic plan administration app where you also have access to your HSA, you can pay claims off of the phone, you can take a picture of a claim that you have paid and request reimbursement from your HSA account. You can also do a geo-access lookup of providers, and it's incorporated into our price transparency module so you can see what the cost of care is. And you can actually click to call and make an appointment, or if they're hooked to the Google interface, you can click to make an appointment right off your application. So it's a more of a holistic approach to a mobile application than just a wellness app.
Well, that's pretty interesting. So you're just rolling out. So where are you focused on any one region of the country right now specifically, or are you looking to embrace distribution across the country? What's your game plan right now?
With our bond program, we really got a lot of interest in the Southeast. So we have a bunch of Florida hospitals and Alabama hospitals that want to sign up on our financial services unit. So we're pushing distribution down there in the Alabama, Mississippi, Florida marketplace. But we've really regained traction. We're out of New York, so we have the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Rhode Island marketplace. And that's where we have the majority of our MGAs that are signed up, two of the three. And they're really driving a lot of traffic there. We're also building out in the Midwest. We're doing this on a regional basis, but we're attacking them all at once. So we have the Northeast, we have the Southeast, we have the Midwest, we have Illinois and Missouri right now, and we have the West. We have Colorado, Utah, and California coming on online really quick. They'll be ready for 7/1 effective dates. We are well ahead in our licensing and our compliance filings than we are in our sales efforts. We want to have our footprint in the licensing, where it's not going to hold back any sales, because we have to be licensed where the members reside, not where the employees reside, the way this program sits.
So you've got a truly integrated model. You've got, you talked about the major medical side. You've got voluntary benefits as part of this, plan design as well.
We have left voluntary benefits out as far as us integrating that, because we know that the brokers out there and the advisors out there are developing that to supplement the decrease in commission levels from the commercial carriers. So we have developed a portal strategy. So every one of our groups will have an employer member portal, the employer administrative portal, and we can load those voluntary benefits up in the employee portal and use that portal as a quasi-private exchange during enrollment. So we want to be very user-friendly to our advisors, and we didn't want to dictate who their ancillary provider should be or carrier should be. So we've opened up that gateway where we can accommodate any of the carriers that are out there.
Does the same hold true for HSA accounts? Any specifically, well, one, or is it offer you can include whoever you're working with?
our HSA account, we wanted to really streamline that because I needed some really robust functionality. And we elected to go with Health Equity out of Utah.
Okay.
A couple reasons is they have one of the most robust and user-friendly member interfaces that we were able to private label and tap into through our member portal. But number two, we've had a lot of interest from banks and banking insurance agencies that wanted to go out and present this to their member base. Health Equity is bank agnostic, so I can take my proceeds from my HSA deposits and funnel them to the banks that I want to. And that was very powerful for us to go out there. So our administrator is sort of tied in because of the functionality, but our banking relationships are agnostic.
Daniel, if I'm a company between 250 and 1,000 and I'm still fully insured, is this an option for me, or are you strictly gearing it to the 50 to 250, which I agree with, but I'm just curious, is it?
No, I've quoted, I've been really close on a 3,000 life group. Probably one of the first groups that I'm going to do in July is going to be 1,000 life. So we can take, on the upper limit, there's no upper limit threshold. And especially if they're coming from the fully insured market to the self-funded, we've put a lot of the safety nets to protect the solvency of the plan and limit the liabilities of the plan sponsor. So it adds to the cost, though we're still competitive with the commercial carriers. When you get into the bigger companies, they have more cash flow flexibility, and we can pull some triggers and actually start reducing their cost on the administration because they can pay as they go. So it's a good fit for everybody. The way we've structured this is that integrated hub and spoke type the strategy, so we can plug and play and manipulate where we need to manipulate to bring those costs down.
It's so when you look at the emerging private exchange market out there, is this a is this an alternative, or can you work with, or tell me how that can work?
We probably are not going to be set aside unless we have a mega group for a dual option plan, which would be the true private exchanges where you need to have choice. We only offer one plan design. And there's a multitude of benefits by offering one plan design. It's a qualified high deductible health plan. It's mirrored with the HSA that includes employer funded HSA, and it allows us to really target our messaging and education to our members. It streamlines that enrollment process. And the last survey I saw was 85% of all employees don't know if they actually made the right decision on open enrollment. So we take that guesswork out of there. And then all we have to do is educate them on the plan so they can maximize their benefits. So when you do that, and to be in a private exchange environment, it doesn't fit because we don't know who we're targeting. What we can do to make it a quasi-private exchange is what I had said earlier, is to add in those ancillary benefits, add in the life, add in the disability, the cancer, your critical illness. So when they go out there, they can choose on their ancillary side if they have dollars to spend.
I got it. Yeah, I got it. Very interesting. So tell me what the team is behind this. Then we'll tie it down and let you leave us some takeaway. I mean, what's the genesis of this? I mean, and what's the leadership team around, behind Endeavor Plus?
The genesis is our CEO decided when he's come from the financial markets and also the TPA markets, and he's the marriage of both of those industries. He looked at the ACA, and he was looking at what the commercial carriers were doing, and he knew that with the reference-based pricing and value-based pricing being pushed by CMS to take advantage of that, and then we had the standardization of reporting so we could do quality measures. So we've incorporated that, so we have true price transparency and quality control measures when people shop for their care. But then he also knew he took advantage of his financial services expertise and came up with that bond market play, which helps stabilize the rates. So that's why we figured the 50 to 250 marketplace is ripe for what we're doing here, because we can help stabilize those rates. When we married those two components together, we came up with something extremely unique. The way we handle our reference-based pricing is – I've never heard of a way to do it in the marketplace. We actually flipped reference-based pricing on its head. And to be able to stabilize the rates through the capital markets, we're really given a good entryway into the self-funding arena to these fully insured companies.
That's good stuff, Daniel. you know, and it's been a pleasure having you on. I want to, you know, stay connected with you guys and follow what you're doing. Leave our audience with a few takeaways, if you would, and then let them know how they can get in touch with you.
Sure. The takeaways is a fully integrated solution that focuses more on wellness than in sickness, that is a comprehensive healthcare package that includes vision and dental in one chassis. It is a qualified high deductible health plan with a funded HSA, which drives true consumerism from day one. But we also have the resources and the tools to back that up so the consumers can be true educated consumers on the back end, something that really has been promised but never been delivered in the marketplace.
Good stuff. And how can they get in touch with you?
Our website is endeavorplus.com. They can email us at info@endeavorplus.com, or they can also contact us directly at 877-EHP-WELL, W-E-L-L.
Dan, it's a pleasure having you on. Look forward to staying connected and following your progress. You have a great weekend up in New York, and we'll talk again soon.
You too, and thank you again for the time.
Take care.
Goodbye.
And to our audience out there, you know, appreciate you joining us on today's program. I want to remind you to check out our forum site, theiiccforum.com, for, you know, the latest information and sign up for our May event, and also to, you know, track where we're moving on Baltimore and IHC Forum West later in the year. You have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week on Healthcare Consumerism Radio.